I've asked Brother Wilson to come, and he was prepared last week, and some things happened, didn't get to do it, but he's got a great report he wants to give. I want you to hear it from him. Come ahead.
Thank you, Brother Hurst. It's always a privilege to give the Lord praise and to honor him for what he does. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I can say this morning that God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Glad I know him this morning. Glad I can trust him. And I just thank him for where he's brought me from. He brought me from where I was way down there low. I didn't know how much longer I was going to be here. But thank God I've got the victory this morning through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Thank you. I had a report here some time ago about how I felt like the Lord had healed me and delivered me from the affliction that I had. And they said I had. I guess I had it. I know I felt it, though. But I've got a better report this morning. Greg, my son, he kept after me till I went back to the doctor and got a report. And I was feeling good and didn't think maybe I needed to go, you know. And so we went back the 12th of December, November, and he told me, he said, you look good. Said, you look good. Said, you're a miracle, he said. That's what the doctor said. And so he said, I want to take some blood work and do some x-rays and just see what's going on. Well, that was all right with me. So he x-rayed me about 12 or 14 times and then took some blood. We went back then the 28th of November. Went in, he sat down, he had a kind of a smile on his face, and I figured by that he had a pretty good report. So he started talking, he said, said there wasn't anything wrong with your blood. Said it was good. And he said there's no blood bone damage. And so we know the Lord healed me of that, because Greg said that when I was in the hospital, they took x-rays, and I did have bone damage to some extent. I don't know just how bad, but he said there was no bone damage. He said, you're a miracle. And I said, well, the first time we went back, he kept saying I look good and everything. I said, well, oh, he asked me. He said, but how come it took you so long to get back to me? And I said, I just kept feeling better, getting better. And he said, it's been almost a year. I said, yeah. So I said, I didn't think there's much use, you know, coming back in. As long as you're feeling good and improving, why go back to the doctor? But thank God for the doctors anyhow. Thank God for that they can help. But I'll tell you what, there comes a time in your life when man can't do anything for you. And you just have to trust God. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God is a miracle worker, and he'll reach out to you. And the word tells us, says, he that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder that diligently search him, diligently seek him. So, and then too, the Bible says that Jesus told his disciples, he said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I'll tell you what, you can trust him when you can't trust nobody else. You know, I mean, when you get low and it looks like you're just about ready to leave here, who are you going to trust but God? He's the only one that can do anything for you. And I thank God for that. And I want to read some scripture here in Mark 11. What Jesus said, this is just preceding where Jesus and the disciples went up to the temple, you know, and Jesus cleaned out the temple and turned over their tables and everything. And on their way back then, it says, and when the evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, this was the tree that Jesus, he sought to get fruit off of on the way up to the temple. And on the way back then, Peter said, Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Praise God. You can put your faith in God. I'll tell you, if you'll stand strong and believe God, God will come to you. Have faith in God. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, I'll tell you, that's the secret to it, but I'll tell you, it's a job to hold on. You know what I mean? The devil will fight you on every hand, and he'll take your healing. He'll take whatever he can from you, and if you don't rebuke him and keep telling him to get out of your life, that you're not paying any attention to him, he'll finally win. But you got to stand strong. You can't give up. It doesn't matter how you feel. I know since the Lord has healed me several times up until just recently, he has told me when I begin to feel bad, you know, and not feel too good of a morning, and he'll say, well, it's coming back on you. I said, get out of here, Satan. You're a liar and the father of them. And I said, I'm not listening to you anymore. And it's not long till I begin to feel better. Praise God. I tell you, that it's a fight. You got to fight the devil. And we can do it. We can do it if we'll just stand strong and believe God. Because he's the miracle worker. So I'm here to tell you this morning, and I give God all the praise for where he's brought me from. But I had a lot of good prayer. I know the church was praying for me. And my family, they stood with me. I'll tell you that. They had a job, but they stood with me. And Greg and Benita, Greg, he had the worst job. He'd always have to lift me up out of the wheelchair and put me in bed and all that stuff. I was pretty low. I couldn't even stand up there for a while. And finally, I kept getting stronger. I kept believing God. I kept getting stronger. Every day, I get a little stronger, do a little more, you know. And I thank God for where he's brought me from. And I just praise and thank him for his saving grace and for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'll tell you, he's a miracle worker. He's a miracle worker. You can trust him. And I just pray to God that I can just keep on trusting him, believing him for greater things. Praise God. All right. I'll let you take over here, Brother Hurst.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Something I forgot to tell you, the doctor told me just before I came out the office, he said, you're the healthiest 89-year-old man I've seen for a while.
Praise the Lord. A year ago, not that we had a lack of faith, but just those of us that were apprised of Brother Wilson's situation, saw him in the hospital. We doubted that he had but days or weeks. And, you know, hospice was called in, if I remember correctly. And it's not every day they cancel hospice. Amen. And the Lord has moved. And I appreciated Greg insisting that he go back to the doctor. Jesus even had the healed lepers to go show themselves to the priest to verify it. And so we have verification, but we don't really need that. We know God is able. But that's certainly a wonderful a testing of what God has done. And we like that. Amen. But what we need to do right now is give God the glory and the praise. Could you just stand with me across the building? Let's lift our hearts and hands and let's give God the glory. He is the God of heaven. He is on the throne. He does hear the prayers of his people. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great God, mighty God, God in Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
How great.
Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you.
Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. How great,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing how great is our God.
Tell him how awesome he is this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. You're great and greatly to be praised. Father, you're wonderful, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get a hymnal and turn to page 410. Hallelujah. Near the cross. Near the cross. Hallelujah. You know, this world has such a pull on every individual. It's pulling for all of us. I had to lean over and ask Brian, it's been years, but I said, two positive magnets push each other apart. You know what? Near the cross keeps drawing me and drawing me. You know what? I'd like to get so close to Christ that I actually hear his heartbeat. Wouldn't that be awesome, Brian, to live that close to God? To feel him drawing us. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to be so close to him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's sing Near the Cross this morning. Jesus. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found in. There the bright and morning star sheds its beam around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring the sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, helping, trusting ever, until I reach the golden strand just beyond the in the Hallelujah. If that's your heart's desire, just tell him that you want to be ever so near. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to be drawn so close to you, Father. Lord, that we can ask.
God bless you this morning. You can be seated. Just continue to worship the Lord as the choir sings. Amen. He wants to speak to us today and move in our hearts. We're his people, and God desires to manifest himself amongst his people today.
Wash me in your
to suggest something to you this morning. If you're here this morning and you are involved in a struggle, maybe it's not even a struggle. Maybe you're at a stalemate in your spiritual life. Maybe you're even a little alarmed because the song should have caused your soul to go upward in praise and worship and you just didn't feel anything. I want to encourage you, if you fit any of those situations, just make up your mind you're going to uplift Jesus because He's worthy. Whether you feel a thing or not, He's deserving of our praise and our worship. Hallelujah. Look at all He has done. You say, I don't notice anything particular He's doing for me right now. Look at all He has done. Hallelujah. Hope, eternal life. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we worship You. You are the Son of God. You're the one that came. You're the one that bled. You're the one that died. You're the one that gave Your life. You're the one that has risen from the dead. And You are Lord. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. 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 If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. In a sense, we've stayed with our series on Sunday morning, The Promises of God, and yet I've been focusing on the season that we're in, and we're focusing on the fact that God promised a deliverer, and He has kept that promise. The deliverer has come. I want you to know there can be deliverance in this house this morning because a deliverer has come. You say, I need deliverance. Good news. We have a deliverer. And that's what deliverers do. They bring deliverance. Hallelujah. I find the truths and the promises of God often come from the lips and lives of those we would least expect them to. And the promise of the Messiah comes from the lips of that lady who didn't have the best of reputations. That lady who had to adjust her daily schedule to escape the wagging tongues of gossip in the village. Also the woman, however, whom Jesus adjusted His path so His path would cross with hers. I just want to read how she put it. If you'd stand for the reading of the word and for prayer. Here's what that lady, that Samaritan lady, that looked down upon lady said to Jesus. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Oh, notice her conviction. She'd made a lot of mistakes. She'd done a lot of things wrong. But she had one thing right. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. I want to talk this morning about the promise of the Messiah. The promise of the Messiah. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your evident presence in the house. Lord, these are Your people. We're Your people. And we need Your special touch, Lord, today. Turn our minds, turn our hearts to spiritual things. Lord, in the clamor of the world around us, vying for our attention and affection. Lord, this morning that You would turn our hearts to You, that we could see afresh that the Deliverer, the Messiah, the Christ has come. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Don't forget to be in service tonight. Come early and pray. Let's believe God. He's been visiting us in a special way, especially on Sunday night. The promise of the Messiah. Before I was married, during the summers between Bible school, I'd went to visit some friends in the St. Louis area. And I'll never forget that spring evening we decided to go down to the riverside, the Mississippi Riverside there under the arch in that park there, and to hand out tracts. And so we're walking up and down the sidewalks there under the arch there in that park alongside the river, and we're handing out tracts and trying to testify of Jesus Christ. And being young men ourselves, we had approached this group of young men, and I remember standing there. We had handed them all a tract, and I began to talk with them and try to share the gospel with them, and a larger crowd gathered. And so there was quite the crowd of young men that were gathered around myself and my friends, and I was talking to them about how Jesus had come to give them life and to save them. And I noticed this old wino walking up to the edge of the crowd there, and he had his bottle in a brown sack, and he was holding it there, and he staggered up, and he listened to me a while, and all of a sudden he decided he wanted to interrupt. And when he spoke, of course, everyone turned around to see what was going on, and he said, "He's telling you about Jesus, huh?" He said, "Well, I'm going to show you Jesus." And he lifted up that bottle in that brown bag, and he said, "See this right here? See this right here? This is my Jesus. Look right here," he said. "This is Jesus." I know it was a bit blasphemous, but one of those old hardened young boys that we were talking to, his eyes got really large. He looked over there at that drunkard, and here's what he said. He said, "That may be Jesus in your book, but it sure ain't Jesus in mine." I thought I couldn't have put it any better. I don't think anyone could have. That might be Jesus in your book, but that's not Jesus in mine. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who is Jesus in your book? Who is Jesus in your book? You see, I feel that in humanity that all people seek a Jesus. They seek a deliverer. They seek a liberator. They seek something or someone to help them escape the problems of their life, to free them from their bondages. You see, that man's problem is the thing that he chose to be the deliverer only bound him further. That which he chose to be the liberator only imprisoned him and enslaved him further. Yet I believe that is the record of humanity. Whether people are aware of it or not, whether they recognize it or not, I believe that all people are looking for the Messiah. They are looking for a deliverer. Oh, I'm glad I can tell you about the Jesus of this book, the Messiah of this book. Hallelujah. Even in our current society, there is a fascination with superheroes. That's more than just childhood nostalgia for comic books. Why is there such an interest in superheroes in our society today? It's not just because it's an interesting movie to watch or any of that. I believe that fascination with superheroes comes from the cry of people that is saying, "We need a deliverer. We need a savior. We need a Messiah." They may not even be aware of it, but that's the cry of humanity. That's always been the cry of humanity since we left the garden, and that is, we need Messiah. We need deliver. Oh, I'm glad I can preach on the other side of it and preach, "He is come. He is come. The deliverer is here. The Messiah has arrived. You don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to be enslaved and imprisoned. There is Messiah who has come to set free." Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about the promise of the Messiah. This woman of Samaria expressed that desire and expectation of all who knew God and His promise. This lady of Samaria was looking for, desiring the coming of the Messiah. Amen. In this period, this season that we're in the advent of Christmas music and Christmas songs and Christmas sermons and even comments, we'll hardly pay attention, but we will periodically in the Christmas season hear the word Messiah. And just think to ourselves, well, that's some Hebrew word. That's just some word, Messiah. Amen. Sometimes about the only thought we have about the word Messiah is that we think of Handel's Messiah and that Hallelujah chorus. And so we think Messiah. In fact, Christmas literally could be called Messiahmas. It doesn't quite have the ring to our ear, but when you say Christmas, you are in fact saying Messiahmas, Messiah in this season. In fact, with all of these references to Messiah in Christmas time, I wonder if the true concept of the Messiah is still a part of our understanding. What is a Messiah? Why were those Jews of yesteryear excited about the Messiah's coming? Why should we be excited on December 9th, 2012? Why should we be excited about the promise of the Messiah? What is it about this Messiah? However we answer that question, the fact remains twofold. Number one, we need the Messiah. And number two, we have a Messiah. Glory to God. The wonderful thing about the time in which we live is that we're no longer just anticipating the arrival of the Messiah, but we are celebrating that He has already come. Messiah is here. Hallelujah. And so I want to look at the promise of the Messiah. All of God's people of the Bible time had learned from Scripture and their teachers to look for the coming of the Messiah, to look for the liberator God had promised them. You see, that meant something to their lives. They lived hard times. They knew oppression. They knew being conquered. They knew pain. They knew sickness. They knew demon possession. And yet this hope of the Messiah buoy them through the hard times. Regardless of how hard things got, regardless of the fact they had enemy soldiers marching through their land, acquisitioning their crops, burning their houses, destroying their temple, as dark as the days may have gotten, amen, these people of God, they yet had the promise of the coming Messiah. And in the darkness, there was that glimmer of hope that this could be the time that Messiah would step upon the stage of their nation and of their life and bring liberty and bring freedom. Hallelujah. What a hope. The hope of the Messiah. But who is this Messiah they look for? Well, if you take the whole of Scripture, you discover that the Messiah was the word used of the one who was anointed to be the liberator, the one anointed to be the deliverer. And once He became the liberator, the deliverer, this anointed one would become the ruler of the countries and the people that He had conquered. And so for those Jews of that time, those Samaritans, when they heard the word Messiah, they were thinking of the one anointed by God to be the liberator of their lives. And after He had liberated them, to be the ruler and the king of their living. The Messiah is the anointed one. Amen. You see, that word anointed refers to that custom of that time. Amen. Run up here, son, real quick. The custom of that time when the authority by direction of God would take the oil and pour it on the head of that one. Which one? The one, first of all, that had been appointed by God. This is the one I have chosen, God said. This is my choice to be the leader of my people. I have anointed you to show I'm appointing you. I am sending you. I am commissioning you. But not only of appointment, but He's saying by that oil, He said, I've got a task for you. I'm assigning you a mission. I'm giving you an assignment. But not only that, this oil wasn't that I've just selected you. It's not just I have a job for you, but it is God saying, I am equipping you. I am empowering you. I'm going to give you the authority you need to do the job. All this was in their idea of the Messiah. That Messiah is the one anointed of God, chosen of of God, sent on mission by God, empowered by God, authorized by God to set us free. Hallelujah. That is who the Messiah is, the anointed liberator, the one sent from God to set free. Hallelujah. Thank you, son. Amen. Just to explain something, this lady, she didn't realize it at the time, but she was trying to tell the Messiah who the Messiah was. Isn't that ironic? She's trying to school Jesus, the Messiah, on who the Messiah was. You see, go ahead and put that up, brother. She said, I know that Messiah, which is called Christ, is coming. Messiah is simply the Hebrew word. And she's schooling Christ. She's saying, in case you don't realize this, Messiah is the Hebrew, but when we say Christ in Greek, we're saying the same word. Christ and Messiah are the same word. One's just Hebrew and one's just Greek. Well, let me give you the English. Liberator. Hallelujah. Hebrew's Messiah. Amen. Greek is Christ. And English is liberator, deliverer, rescuer, savior, the one who sets free. Amen. We are accustomed to saying Jesus Christ. But every time we say Jesus Christ, Christ literally meaning the anointed one. Every time we say Jesus Christ, we are saying Jesus, Messiah, or Jesus, deliverer. Listen, I'm not preaching in a vacuum. Even in this crowd this morning, there are those whose lives have become bound and enslaved. But I'm here to preach this morning. There is a deliverer who can set you free. Hallelujah. He is here this morning. We live on the other side of the Messiah's coming. In fact, I want to point out, though I won't dwell here, we live right between the two Messiahs coming. He's come once, but he's coming again. And we are privileged to live right between his comings. Hallelujah. Other men have been anointed as prophets. Other men have been anointed as priests and kings. Prophets were anointed to bring God's message to the people. Priests were anointed to bring people to God's mercy. Kings were anointed to fulfill God's mission and rule for God on earth. But Jesus is the ultimate anointed one. He is the Messiah. In Psalms 45, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. In other words, lots of men had been anointed, but nobody had been anointed like the Messiah. He was anointed above all others. He is the one promised of God to be the great deliverer. He has preeminence over all others. Why? Because others might have been anointed to be a priest, and another might have been anointed to be a prophet, and a third might be anointed to be a king. But this Messiah, he was anointed to be all three. He was anointed to be our prophet and our priest and our king. He was anointed the prophet to bring the word of God to us, but he was anointed to be the high priest to take us into the very presence of God for forgiveness of sin. But he was also anointed to be king, to rule and reign supremely from the hearts of men and over all creation. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Messiah, the one anointed above all others. I believe since all people have some type of bondage in their life, something that perplexes them, something that's ruining them, paining them, I believe all people cry out for the Messiah. They're looking for him. I mentioned the man at the beginning. People choose their Messiah. They choose their God, their master. But often they don't choose the right one. They don't choose Jesus of Nazareth. They choose the one they look to for freedom and find themselves only further enslaved. But this deliverer, this Messiah, He not only sets his people free, but he rules from their hearts with righteousness and peace and joy. You see, to fully accept the Messiah isn't just allow him to set you free. To fully accept the Messiah is to allow him to set up his kingdom from the throne of your heart and to rule and reign in your life and living. Those are those that accept the Messiah. The Jews, you can read it in the gospel, they missed the Messiah's first coming primarily because of two things. They missed his coming, number one, because they were looking for a political Messiah instead of a spiritual one. They were looking for a Messiah that would throw off the yoke of Rome, run those Romans out of Israel, and give them their own Jewish king, the Messiah. They were looking for a political Messiah and did not realize when he came as a spiritual Messiah, not to free them from Rome, but to free them from Satan and from sin and free them from darkness. They missed it. They also missed it at that point because the Old Testament promised that there was coming the suffering servant. Isaiah 53, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. His visage was marred more than any man. He was despised and rejected. Even God had promised a suffering servant who was coming to bear the sins of his people. But in the Old Testament, it not only talked about the suffering servant, but it talked about the Son of Man who was commissioned by the Ancient of Days to rule and reign in a supreme kingdom over all men and all nationalities and all powers and might. And the Jews, instead of looking for the suffering servant, they were looking for this Son of Man, potentate and ruler. And they missed him. They missed the Messiah when he came as that suffering servant. Oh, but another thing they missed that the Messiah was going to come twice. He was coming, number one, as the spiritual Messiah. He was coming, first of all, as the suffering servant. He was coming, first of all, to deal with sin, to give us the sacrifice that we could be forgiven. But that Messiah is coming again. The second time he's coming as the ruling Messiah. He is coming as the King of Kings. He is coming as the Son of Man. He is coming as the one who's going to rule and reign with the reign of righteousness. Therefore, we live between the comings of the Messiah. We know Sister Brock, he's come as that suffering servant. Thank God. But now we look for him to come as that Son of Man. Hallelujah. The promise of the Messiah. And then I want to look at the prophecies of the Messiah's coming. There are actually over 300. Now I'm going to give you three. That's 1 in 100. The first promise of the Messiah we have, Sister Heath mentioned it in a testimony recently, goes all the way back to when man first sinned, first blew it, first messed things up. Clear back to the garden. And God said, you disobeyed, you're out of here. Everything bad you can imagine is going to happen. You've caused this whole creation to go haywire, and you're going to suffer for it. It was a bleak day. But even in that bleakness, at the rebuke of God, in Genesis 3:15, God gave the promise of the Messiah. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This old serpent, he's caused you trouble already. He's going to continue to cause you trouble. But there is coming one who, though his heel will be bruised, that one is going to put his foot, his heel, on this serpent's head. Hallelujah. That's the first reference of the coming of the Messiah. That is a reference to his coming. The second main category of the expectation of the Messiah came through King David. King David was that king with a man with a heart after God's heart. Amen. And God promised him. He said, I'm going to give you a lineage. I'm going to give you a dynasty. But one of you your descendants is going to be the everlasting King who will rule through all time. Here's just one reference to that. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. That's through his descendant. And they shall have one shepherd. And they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. They begin to look for this son of David to come and to be the Messiah and to rule and reign. Hallelujah. But that's great. This coming one who's going to crush the serpent, this descendant of David, that's great. But oh, Daniel adds something to this. In Daniel chapter 7, he said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The Son of Man is coming. You see, we miss that. We get over in the Gospels and Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, and we think, well, he's just talking about he's got human. He's become human. No, we miss that. I want you to ask yourself something. Why did the enemies of Christ become so incensed and so angry every time Jesus called himself the Son of Man, if he was just referring to his humanity? They weren't becoming angry because he was referring to his humanity. They knew that every time Jesus said, I am the Son of Man, that Jesus was claiming to be that one that Daniel said would come, sent by the Ancient of Days to rule and reign supremely with every principality and power under his feet. That's why incense those Jews. Jesus was saying, I am that Son of Man. I am that Messiah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad he's come. Jesus said, when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. We weren't there the first time he came, but I'm telling you, we can be ready the second time he comes as the Son of Man. Is he the Son of Man of your life, ruling supremely? Is he truly Messiah? Then I want to briefly talk about the probabilities of the Messiah's coming. It depends on how you count them, but there are 333 prophecies in the Old Testament of the coming Messiah. Get this, 333 prophecies of the coming Messiah in the Old Testament. Of those 333, 109 of them are specifically unique. In other words, they're talking about different aspects. So about 1 in 3 of the prophecies, 109, are uniquely specific prophecies about the Messiah. Now I want us to do something just for the math this morning. And the research is not mine, it's another, but 333 prophecies of Messiah's coming. Let's just take 8. Just 8. And ask ourselves, what is the probability that by accident and coincidence, a man would be born in history and fulfill just 8 of those 109 unique prophecies of coming Messiah? What would be the probabilities? Well, I'm going to give you some numbers, but then I'm going to give you a picture of those numbers. That would be, of only 8 of those prophecies coming to pass in the life of one individual, That would be 1 in 100 quadrillion. Or, if you prefer exponents, that's 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Or, if you prefer seeing the zeros, it's 1 in 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, that's even bigger than our national debt. One man worked it out in the form of analogy, Peter Stoner. He said, here's what you do. You collect enough silver dollars to layer the state of Texas, and they take pride of having a big state. layer the state of Texas knee-deep in silver dollars. Take one silver dollar and put a magic mark check on that silver dollar. Get in an airplane and somewhere over the state of Texas, just throw that silver dollar out the window and let it go down to the knee-deep silver dollars across the state. Get 10,000 bulldozers and have them start from different places of the perimeter of Texas and give them 10 years to just push those silver dollars everywhere. And then after 10 years, take a man and blindfold him. Take him and let him wander throughout Texas and tell him he's got one try to stick his hand down in that knee-deep silver dollars and pull out the one with the magic mark check. And if he would pull it out, that would be these odds of only 8 of the messianic prophecies being fulfilled in the life of one man. Now remember, we're only talking about 8. What if we take all 333 or 109? I'm telling you, the Messiah came by the appointment and arrangement of God Himself. And I've said something about probabilities, but it's not really probabilities. It's prophecy. And prophecy is not guessing. Prophecy is when God tells us what history is going to be before it happens. How many knows that God writes history before it takes place? Oh, what a God we serve. Think about it. The Messiah He said was coming, He has come at God's ordination. And sometimes we fail to trust Him for our tomorrow. And look what He's already done. Last of all, this morning I want to talk about the proclamation of the Messiah's coming. This is all through the New Testament, but I want to look at only one incident. The people of God have been waiting, 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 waiting for the coming of Messiah. And one day, in a backwater nation of the Roman Empire, in a country town's synagogue, a new teacher showed up and was asked to read whatever scroll was selected for the day. Not by coincidence, but by design of God, the leader of the synagogue went over and pulled out the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and handed it to that new teacher that had the hands and the calluses of a carpenter. He unwound that scroll, and when he had found the assigned place to read, he began to read. He began to read the Spirit. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down to teach. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear." You know what he read? He read about the coming of the Messiah. And then in that little backwater town, he looked those people in the eye and he said, "I'm here. The one you've looked for, the one you've waited on, He's here. It is I." Hallelujah. The Messiah has come. What he had just read to them was that this Messiah comes to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bound, them that are bruised. And not only was he saying the Messiah has come, he said, "Now it will begin. The prison doors will begin to be open. The chains are going to start falling off. Even those who have been bruised and abused and afflicted, they're going to be healed. The poor's going to reach." And it happened. I said it happened. Demons started coming out. blinded eyes started coming open. People that were oppressed found hope. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Messiah had come and he proclaimed it there. He that this is promised, he's here in your midst. Oh, hallelujah. And I want to tell you this morning, he's here in this synagogue as well. And what the Messiah does, he does this morning in our midst. I want to ask the question, who's your Messiah? Every person's looking for a Messiah. I'm about done, but I want you to give consideration to this. The alcoholic's looking for a Messiah. The young person that cuts themselves is looking for a Messiah. The one that seems to seek out one abusive relationship after the other is looking for a Messiah. Even those who are involved in pornography, they are looking for a Messiah. You say, how can you do that? I want you to think of that young person that cuts themselves because they're upset with their life. They're trying to find escape through that. They're trying to find deliverance. Pornography, even a secular study that came out this week shocked the researchers of how many Americans are addicted to pornography. And the especial shocking thing was the number of women comparatively that had risen exponentially. 25% of those addicted are now women. And that's a horrible thing to contemplate. But did you know that even those that become addicted to pornography, they're looking for Messiah? You say, how can you say that? Most, I won't give you time to have time to think about this, but most would never guess it. The biggest hour for pornographic hits on the internet is 10 a.m. in the morning. Why? You would pick another time. Why then? Because people now are at work, they're now dealing with the day, and they're looking for some kind of escape from what they see is the hardness and the roughness of their lives. I'm telling you, these folks are all looking for the Messiah, but they're picking the wrong thing. Amen. I'm glad I can tell you this morning, the Messiah has come. We don't need those things. There is really one who can set free. There is really one who can deliver. Things will worsen in our world. And more, I think people will be looking for the Messiah. The sad thing is they will not choose the true Messiah who has already come and is coming again. Listen, I'm warning you, it's going to happen. In mass, they're going to choose a new Messiah that comes upon the scene and seemingly offers solutions to our world's problems. You say, I know who you're talking about. You're talking about the Antichrist. You're right. But just like we visited today, that Christ is literally the Greek for the Messiah, the anointed one, keep in mind that the Antichrist is literally the anti-Messiah or the anti-liberator. In other words, people turn to him to look for deliverance and liberation, amen, from their problems and their troubles. We know how bad things are economically and politically. Look across our world in the Middle East and everything's a cauldron about ready to boil over. I mean, this world has no answers, and all of a sudden there's one that's going to step on the scene that seemingly has answers. And even though they have rejected the true Messiah, by the millions they will embrace the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a people even in that time that are going to know who the true Messiah is, and they are going to be strong and do exploits. How many has embraced the true Messiah, the living Messiah, the Jesus Messiah? Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. And so here we are at the well, and the woman's trying to take the heat off herself because of her illicit relationships that Jesus had just pointed out. And so she says, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. One day he's going to come and tell us all things. Jesus looked at her and said, I that speak unto thee am he. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? She'd been trying to school him who the Messiah was, and now he opens up his mouth and said, I'm that one. I'm that coming Messiah. I'm that coming Christ. I'm that coming anointed one. Something went all the way through that woman's heart. She recognized he was telling the truth. That indeed was the Messiah. And she left her water pot and went away into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. I'm telling you, I know that woman just got set free. How do you know it? She'd been hiding from her shame, hiding from her sin by coming to the well at 12 to escape the gossips. But now she's running through the gates of the city saying to the wise men and the elders, hallelujah, I just met somebody that went through the list and told me all the bad things I did. She's no longer trying to hide her sin. Why? She realized she had just been set free from her sin. She had just been delivered from her sin. That's why she could go through the streets and say, come see this one that has set me free. He told me my sin. And look what she said. Is not this the Messiah? Hallelujah. He has come. How do you know he's come? He said, I'm free for the first time in my life. I've had an abusive relationship. After abusive relationship, I've sinned, I've had shame, but he set me free. Is not this the Messiah? Would you come, music? This week, I didn't get all the details. I heard it on the radio. In our area, there was an awful car wreck. And just as a vehicle was catching fire, a passerby reached into the vehicle and pulled the occupant to safety. And the news commentator said the passerby left and has not yet been identified. The rescuer has not yet been identified. I want to ask you the question, have you identified your rescuer? Do you know who he is? What's the identity of our Messiah? Jesus. Jesus. What a time we live in. That television show, The Family Feud, you know, they survey 100 people, then they ask the contestants what the 100 people might have responded. This year in an episode, they did a survey and asked 100 people, when someone mentions the king, to whom might he or she be referring? Here's the top four answers. 81 people, this is their first response, said Elvis Presley. 81 out of 100. 7 said God or Jesus. 3 said Martin Luther King Jr. And 2 people said the Burger King. In Christian America, what is the answer to that question? When someone mentions the king, to whom are they referring? I'm telling you, there's only one answer. Jesus. He's the King. He's the Messiah. He's the Liberator. He's the Deliverer. Would you stand and worship the King? Worship the King. Worship the King. Worship the King. Oh, worship the King. Let's worship Him across the building. Worship the King. Oh, worship the King. Worship the King. Do you need delivered this morning? He is the deliverer. He is the one who will set you free. He is the deliverer. Hallelujah. He's Messiah. Maybe it's not a part of our worship because it is Hebrew. But with your hands and your heart up, could you say, thank you, Messiah, for coming? Use that word, Messiah. Thank you, Messiah, for coming. Thank you, Messiah. Oh, Messiah, you have come. And we're looking for you to come again. You came the first time, Messiah, for sin and to salvation. But Messiah, you're coming the second time to rule and reign supremely. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Are you here? Do you need delivered this morning? Do you need Messiah? Would you begin to come and fill this altar and say, I need the Messiah. I need him this morning. I need him this morning. Would you come? I need Messiah. Hallelujah. May you just want to come and worship him. He is the liberator. He is the deliverer. Hallelujah. Would you like to come and worship Messiah? Hallelujah. He has come. He has come. He has come. Oh, let's worship him, church. Let's worship him. Who's Jesus in your book? Who's the Messiah in your book? Hallelujah. Oh, the Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. Oh, Messiah. Oh, let's worship Messiah.
To make a
let's
way
worship Messiah.
To the cross.
Oh, hallelujah. Let him be he Lord of your life.
Away in a manger, away to the cross. Messiah, the promised.
Worship Messiah.
Time had begun.
Why don't you just honor him in this altar this
For
morning?
God so loved
honor the Messiah.
This world.
I worship you, Messiah. I praise you, Messiah. Jesus, Messiah. Jesus Christ.
He made a way
Jesus
in
the
a manger to make a way to the cross.
Oh, worship the King. Worship the Messiah.